Support for this podcast and the following message come from Allianz Travel Insurance. You've got big plans ahead. Protect your adventures for the next 365 days with an all-trips annual travel insurance plan. Learn more and get a quote at allianztravelinsurance.com.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. The United States has blocked an attempt by the Palestinians to upgrade their membership at the United Nations. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports on the latest veto at the Security Council.
U.S. Ambassador Robert Wood cast the lone no vote on a resolution that would have recommended membership for the, quote, state of Palestine.
This vote does not reflect opposition to Palestinian statehood, but instead is an acknowledgement that it will only come from direct negotiations between the parties.
The Biden administration has been trying to put together a diplomatic package that would include Saudi Arabia normalizing ties with Israel and a clear pathway to a Palestinian state. Wood says that diplomacy continues, even as the U.S. tries to get a ceasefire in Gaza in exchange for the release of hostages held by Hamas. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, the State Department.
After 2 days of protests, police in New York City say they've arrested more than 100 pro-Palestinian demonstrators at Columbia University. Ramzi Khalife from member station WNYC reports.
Just a day after Columbia University President Manoush Shafiq testified in Congress about efforts to combat anti-Semitism on her campus, she says she instructed local police to clear out an encampment on school grounds occupied by students protesting the Israel-Hamas war. Tents are being removed by police where students staked out for more than 36 hours. The Institute for Middle East Understanding confirms that House Representative Ilhan Omar's daughter, Isra Hirsi, is among three Barnard College students suspended for participating in the stakeout. For NPR News, Ramzi Khalife in New York.
Wearable devices that scan a user's brain signals are becoming more common. Whether a headset to improve sleep, a cap to keep drivers awake, or tools that help people with disabilities to move and speak. Lucas Brady Woods from member station KUNC reports a new state law in Colorado is the first to protect the data they collect.
Since these devices scan brain activity, they also allow the companies who make them to collect, use, and sell a user's neurological data. This week, Colorado Governor Jared Polis signed a first-in-the-nation measure expanding the state's privacy laws to include neurological data. State Representative Kathy Kipp sponsored the legislation.
When you get down to the brass tacks, people don't want other people reading their minds, and they want to have control over their own behavior.
Similar bills to regulate the data from brain interface technology are being considered in California and Minnesota. For NPR News, I'm Lucas Brady Woods in Denver.
At the close on Wall Street, the Dow was up 22 points. This is NPR. Workers at a Mercedes plant in Alabama will vote next month on whether to join the United Auto Workers Union. This comes as Volkswagen workers in Tennessee are in the middle of their own union election. Stephen Bisaha of the Gulf States Newsroom reports the votes are part of the UAW's $40 million campaign to recruit non-unionized workers.
Half a dozen southern governors have warned that unionizing could cost jobs, especially since a dozen-plus foreign auto plants first came to the south in large part to avoid the UAW. That includes this Mercedes plant, where about 5,000 workers make luxury SUVs. Pro-union workers at this plant say their pay has fallen behind, and they want the better benefits UAW negotiated for its members last fall. They're also paying close attention to the union election happening at a Volkswagen plant in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Workers there have until Friday night to cast their ballots. Voting at the Mercedes plant will happen in mid-May. For NPR News, I'm Stephen Bisaha in Birmingham, Alabama.
Starbucks says it's taking steps to cut down on the amount of plastic it uses. Plastic waste from popular cold drinks at the coffee chain are creating increasing problems at landfills. The company says it will begin using new disposable cups that contain about 20% less plastic. Sales from Starbucks, Frappuccinos, and cold brews now account for 75% of sales in the United States. Recapping stocks on Wall Street, the Dow was up 22 points at the close today. This is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Macmillan Audio. One of the most thought-provoking books about the Middle East, Thomas L. Friedman's From Beirut to Jerusalem, is now available as an unabridged audiobook featuring a new preface read by the author. Find it wherever audiobooks are sold.